Hey, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Chris, and you're listening to the DCP Anonymous Podcast.
Hey, howdy, hey, it's Monorail Rye, and joining me today is the guy who's always got my back, River Guide Chris.
What's up, everybody?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is just Chris and I today, because Molly's unavailable, Claire's unavailable, Megan's unavailable, and so Chris and I held off until we possibly couldn't anymore, so get ready for a Monday night recording shenanigans, because we both work today.
Yep.
And when we record on Monday nights, it's always something.
It's always weird.
Sunday's midday is where it's at for us, so bear with us.
We sound like a talk radio show.
Yeah, we do.
Sunday's midday.
Yeah. Chris and I were originally going to do a advice column, if you will, with Molly or Claire or Megan, but again, none of them could join us. So Chris
all
and
three.
So Chris and I, of course, pivoted and decided, hey, let's do a castle episode. So we are going to go through the history of all six Disney parks and their castles. And yes, if you have been on Disney Plus, you know there's a show called Behind the Attractions. And yes, there's an episode about the history of the castles.
It's like episode six. And yes, we did use it for the majority of our research.
Correct. But you know Chris, and Chris will, I'm sure, have a ton of additional information on top of this. We are going to go through that episode, maybe add a few different things to it. But let's start off with, do you have any history, Chris, that you want to start off with?
Well, I feel like this entire episode is history, so I'm not going to do that to us today.
Okay, we're not going to
But
do
I am going to
no.
ask you this,
yes,
Ryan. How did you feel when you saw the Disneyland castle for the first time? Sleeping Beauty's castle.
I mean, so here's the deal with Sleeping Beauty's castle versus Cinderella's castle. You walk past the train station in the Magic Kingdom, and you immediately see Cinderella's castle, and it's just like that awe-inspiring thing. You don't necessarily see Sleeping Beauty's castle until you're fourth halfway down?
Yeah.
Main
you,
Street,
you,
you
you gotta
say?
go down Main Street a little bit.
But that being said, I didn't think it would hit me the way it did. I thought I would walk in and be like, ha, it's so funny, it's so small. Cinderella's is far superior. And that's really not the feeling I had. I mean, like, and this was right after our program, too. So, like, I felt I was back at home, right? So, like, I had all those emotions from the Disney College program hitting me. But that being said, yes, looking at the two castles, we all know I am a Cinderella stan. However, Sleeping Beauty's castle has a place in my heart.
Yes. Okay. I remember seeing your face and I remember seeing the emotions.
After I slapped you because you were looking at everything else in the park.
It had been a long time since I'd been to Disneyland. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I was excited. But I do remember seeing your face and seeing the excitement. And, you know, it was kind of the same thing. I was expecting, not that I am a Sleeping Beauty castle stan by any means. I am an originalist. I love Disneyland for being the first.
Yes.
So I was expecting to, like, get into the debate with you. And I looked over and you were like, nope, no debate here.
No, there really isn't a debate, which we're going to get a little bit more into the design of Disneyland's castle as well later on in this episode. Another thing we're going to be talking about is the forced perspective. And I will say, I get it was 1955, but the forced perspective on the Disneyland castle, I think, is probably the worst forced perspective on Disney property. I don't feel like it. Like, okay, Pirates of the Caribbean has it too, right? Like, you go through the fire scenes, and the village actually looks like it's equally first floor, second floor. When you get to Cinderella's castle, it's kind of like you have this big, high, almost 20-foot first floor, and then it looks like the second floor is 10 feet to me. It doesn't look like it's equal, and we will talk about this a little bit later on in the episode. And I don't know if you agree with me on that or not.
I'm actually having to pull up a picture right now because I don't know. Like, it's not even whether I agree or not. I just don't know.
It's almost, if you look at it from an aerial view, it actually looks better forced perspective than if you're standing at the bottom of the
Okay.
castle, in my personal opinion.
So I'll pull up some images and see what we.
Okay, while you're looking that up,
Yeah, okay. I
you
see what
see
you're
what I'm
saying.
saying?
I see what you're saying. And you're right. The aerial view does, or even from like a photographer, like almost laying on the ground looking up
Yeah.
perspective, but like straight on, you are correct. It is kind of
Lackluster.
cartoonish.
Yes.
Cartoonish is the word I'm going to use here.
Yes. So let's get into this episode. Again, this
Yeah.
is season one. We believe it's episode six. I literally just watched it like 2 hours ago before we got on here. They start out with what's the icon, right? Walt Disney is considering building this park. And everybody's saying, are you going to put a giant Mickey as what they call on the episode the beacon of Main Street USA? Walt called it a weenie. It's the weenie at the end of the tunnel, right? The thing is, he didn't want a Mickey Mouse. He wanted something that is a little bit more iconic, and his love for fairy tales drove him to do a castle. Now, the question is, what castle does he do? He had three movies at the time that were he was considering using. So he had Sleeping Beauty, Alice in Wonderland, and Cinderella. They chose the first feature-length film, Sleeping Beauty. However, Sleeping Beauty did not come out until 1959. Well, the park was built in 1955, right? So this was to help promote that movie.
Ever the ad man.
Yes, always the ad man. Going off of that, you think about castles, right? How did he get this inspiration for this fun fairy tale castle? Because all the castles in the world are kind of these dark, dreary type things. He took that European castle and Disneyfied it, is what they said, for a contemporary audience. Now, Herb Ryman, or Herbie as they called him, was the first person to do a drawing, an illustration of what the Disneyland park was going to be to help sell the park to get funding. And he built this castle in it. But the castle in that drawing is nothing like Sleeping Beauty's castle.
It is not. And have you ever looked up that the original drawing, Ryan?
They actually showed it on the episode.
Okay, I couldn't remember if they did. So.
And I mean, it's very. I don't want to say it's very traditional castle, like four blocks with, like the little thing on top, but it definitely was four-sided and it had more of the centerpiece of Sleeping Beauty's castle with, more of the pillars and the cove
Yeah.
type thing. But it was still a little bit darker than what this is.
Absolutely. One of my favorite things about Herb Ryman, not just the castle, but in general with Disneyland, Herb had worked for MGM and had taken some time off, and Walt had gone to an art show that he was doing, and a lot of it was stuff that he had drawn during his time traveling China. And Walt hired him to be an art, person for the studio. And he calls him in and he goes, "I need your help drawing these plans for Disneyland for this marketing trip that Roy's going on." He goes, "Cool, how long do I have?" He goes, "This weekend."
Yeah.
If you know anything about Walt Disney, it's just very so much Walt.
Right.
But so him and Herb stayed at the studio for the weekend, and as Walt is describing what Disneyland is to be, Herb has his pencil out and he's out there doing all these sketches and
Yeah.
whatnot. So.
So the castle itself is actually based off of two different castles with different aspects. The first one, and I'm going to apologize right now for the way I pronounce these because I know it's not going to be correct. He took pieces of the Chateau Chenonceau. I don't know. It's a French castle. If you would like
We
to
need
look it up,
Claire.
it's Chateau, and then you spell it Chenonceau. And then the Neuschwanstein Castle in Germany. And that one is Neuschwanstein. So those were the two castles that kind of helped give Cinderella, or sorry, Sleeping Beauty's castle its aesthetic and brought it to life. Then there's the issue of cost, right? So Walt is this man who his brain is bigger than his budget, let's be honest. And so
Always.
he wanted this fabulous castle. Well, it turns out we don't have that budget. So this is where the forced perspective comes in. Oh my gosh, I keep saying Cinderella Castle. Sleeping Beauty's castle is only 77 feet tall. Now, that first floor, when you're standing at it, is an actual first floor height. From there, every floor above gets smaller and smaller. So let's say the first floor is 20 feet. The second floor might only be 15 feet. Then the third floor is only 10 feet. And that's basically how forced perspective works when you're standing at ground level.
And again, as Ryan has mentioned earlier, this is a very no well-known and very commonly used method within the Disney parks. U.S. aviation law requires any building 200 feet or higher to have a flashing red light on top of it, which is something that, of course, Disney and the Imagineers absolutely hate the idea of. So a lot of the buildings you see, especially in Walt Disney World, and a lot of the mountains you see, just barely avoid that, their 199, I think its tower is 199 and a half
Yep,
feet
tower
tall.
is like it just misses
So,
it.
like, it just misses the blinking light.
Yes.
But they look so much taller because of that forced perspective.
Correct. And then just a f two more things on Sleeping Beauty's castle, and then we'll be moving on unless Chris has other things to add. But there were two other things. And again, Walt was an advertiser, right? So he builds this park, he builds this castle to help promote his first feature-length film, Sleeping Beauty. Not only that, but he had a television show where he would say all the plans for Disneyland and he would show the progress of the castle through his show to get people excited. Beyond that, 2 years after this castle was built, 1957, we still have 2 years until Sleeping Beauty, the movie, is out. He has someone come in and actually build a walkthrough the backside of the castle, so that way people could go and see the story of Sleeping Beauty before they go and see the movie. Oh, I missed one other thing. This one
I
is
was
really
gonna.
interesting.
So, and this, if it's the one I'm thinking it is, I actually, you knock you over with a feather when I say this. Claire is the one that actually taught me this one. I
Okay.
did not know it originally. And that is, and I'm sure this is the one you were thinking of, the fact that originally, well, not originally, if you go into Disneyland when you're walking down Main Street USA, you are technically looking at the backside of Sleeping Beauty's castle.
That is correct.
And again, this was a Herb Ryman doing. As they were looking at the model, he's standing there, he's looking at it, and he goes, "That looks very much like the Neuschwanstein," and I totally butchered that German, wow, castle. But specifically, that castle was built by, where in my notes did I just have it? That castle was built by a man known as Mad King Ludwig of Bavaria. And Herb's looking at that and he goes, "It's not a bad castle, but do we really want Mad, King Ludwig to be our like icon here?" And so he starts to kind of twist it and turn it around, and about that point is when Walt walks in and goes, "I like it. We're building it like that."
Yep. So when you walk into Disneyland and you see that castle, that's actually the back door to the castle. And when you go to the other side into Fantasyland and you turn around and look at that castle, that's the front door to the castle.
Which my grandmother used to have a house up in Lake Tahoe, and the driveway and what we, the door we went through when we grew up, where it came right off the driveway and everything, was actually the back door. So
Oh
it's
yeah,
all
my parents' house, we always use the back door. We never use the front door.
right. But it was one of those, like, I never thought of it as the back door before, kind of like you would never think of the side of the castle you see walking down Main Street
Yeah,
as the
Main
back
Street
door.
USA is the backyard.
So,
Anything else on Sleeping Beauty's castle?
no, like
All
that's
right.
Sleeping Beauty Castle.
Well, the next park to be built, you guessed it, The Magic Kingdom, Walt Disney World. First thing Walt says is, I want a bigger castle. Why wouldn't you? Of course you would. 177 feet tall. Let's get one that's bigger. Let's make one that's 189 feet tall.
Hey Ryan, what's the problem with a really big castle?
You know, Chris, it's kind of what we talked about earlier. When I walk into the Magic Kingdom, that's the first thing I see. When I walk into Disneyland, I gotta make it about halfway through Main Street at USA before I see it. So if I'm standing in Tomorrowland in the Magic Kingdom and I see a castle that's 189 feet, that's not really fitting the theme, is it?
Nope. And let's be real, Walt Disney World was built, and Magic Kingdom specifically was built because of how much Walt wanted it to be, each land its own. And I've never been able to actually find a source on this, but I've always been told the story that, one of Walt's biggest issues was he once saw a Frontierland cowboy walking through Tomorrowland. And so that was part of what invented the utilidors and all of that.
Now, there's one problem with building a castle that's 189 feet tall. We had 18 months to do it. That's right. This was a very quick turnaround, a very quick building of a castle. And one thing that we should probably also mention is there are no bricks to build the castle. What is it made out of, Chris?
It is made out of plaster and fiberglass.
That is correct. And they can also survive hurricane strength winds of a category 3. But don't
But they don't.
worry, they have a backup somewhere in Florida. It just pops out of the ground.
I was about to say. But yes, favorite trivia, in case you ever want to stump your friends with Disney trivia, how many bricks are in Cinderella Castle? Zero.
Zero. Beyond that, it was a European design, supposed to be Romanesque. Fortress-like with a gothic upper portion of the structure. That's you, Chris.
That is all me. That was actually something I pulled out of a Disney 100 article earlier. And basically what they were saying is, yes, it's fiberglass, it's plaster, it's not a real true castle. Of course, Disney hasn't built a real true castle, that you would see in Europe in the first place. Everything has that fairy tale detail to it. But they did want to give it some of that European look. And so again, you've got that, and I'm looking at Ryan's background right now. He shifted just enough I can see the castle now. But you do have that Romanesque big brick looking base structure, and then those Gothic cathedral type upper portions. So it
Yes.
does have that European look without actually being designed in a European style in any way whatsoever.
You know what I was just thinking about? That's kind of funny.
What's up?
So I have the Lego Cinderella Castle. It's made out of more bricks than the actual Cinderella Castle.
That
Ba-doom-tsh.
That
All
really
right.
is funny.
Now, at 189 feet, it's obviously a much larger castle, so there's more room to do things. Yes, Cinderella's, or sorry, yes, Cinderella, oh my God.
Yes,
Yes,
Sleeping
Sleeping
Beauty.
Beauty's castle has a walkthrough in the backside of it, or really the front side of it, if you're, the original design. However, Cinderella's castle has a secret room. It has a Cinderella castle suite, if you will, inside of it, which one lucky guest, well, one lucky family gets to stay in each night.
Most nights, not
Most
all
nights,
nights.
not all nights. It also has the Bippity Boppity Boutique on one side and Cinderella's Royal Table for dining on the other side. Right?
Yep,
Okay,
you are correct.
you weren't saying anything, and I'm like, I'm
I
pretty
was letting you.
sure.
I actually, the one thing I did not pull up was information on the castle suite, which I think is hilarious. So I was quickly doing that. But
Oh, okay.
no, you are correct. On
Which.
one side, you do have Bippity Boppity Boutique, and then you've got the Cinderella Royal Table. So,
Yes. Which I just learned something about the Cinderella Suite. So it
okay.
used to be reserved for celebrities. Do you know what celebrity ruined that for everyone?
I don't.
Justin Bieber.
Really?
He apparently trashed the Cinderella suite, and so therefore, they stopped letting celebrities stay in it, and that's when they started allowing guests, park guests, to stay in the suite.
Okay, well, as much as, I don't care about Bieber one way or the other, I am gonna say I feel like that's slightly off. Only simply because I know that it was used during the Year of a Million Dreams, which was 2007. And that's like when they first started the guests getting to stay in there and whatever. It can sleep up to six people. Was available as prize during the Year of the Million Dreams in 2007, celebration taking place at all 11 Disney theme parks. And an overnight stay in an apartment was a prize randomly awarded to a guest at the four Walt Disney World theme parks and Downtown Disney. They've discontinued spending the night in the castle as of 2009 to an extent. Again, it is still one of those that it is randomly gifted to guests. It is also used as a sweepstakes for cast members. So it's one of those that cast members can always, I can't tell you how many times I entered the drawing to try and get a chance to stay in the
I've
castle.
done it a few times as well.
Yeah. And then I know I saw recently that the Magic basketball team, I can't think of, was it the Orlando Magic? Yeah, the Orlando Magic had a charity event going on where that was one of the like things that you could be entered to win if you donated. So.
Gotcha. Do you want to go through our re-themes here, Chris?
Sure, let me pull the notes up real quick. So there hasn't been a lot of retheming done to Cinderella Castle. It has gotten a few paint jobs though. In 1996, it did get the most controversial of all rethemes, and that was the 25th anniversary of the Walt Disney World Resort and of Magic Kingdom. And they themed Cinderella Castle to look like a giant birthday cake. Now, if you have never seen this picture before, you need to go and pull it up on Google. The birthday cake, Magic Kingdom birthday cake, Cinderella birthday cake, whatever you want to call it.
All I'm gonna say is if I would have walked into Main Street and saw that, I would not have cried. I would not have felt any emotion other than I would have been laughing. It's pretty laughable.
It's something, all right. And that was like a 15-month overlay on the castle. So for 15 months, people who like this may have been their one, once in a lifetime trip to Disney World, got to see Cinderella Castle look like a giant birthday cake.
I must have just missed that because I went in either 96 or 97
Okay.
for the first time.
There was another one. I want to say it was 2006, but let me double check myself here.
You mean 2000 and Stitch?
Yep. Was that 2006, Ryan?
I have no idea. I
Oh,
just came up with 2000 and Stitched.
okay. I just love that you knew exactly where I was going with that because I
Yes.
forgot to put that one in the notes. But so we had it turned into a giant birthday cake for Disney World's 25th anniversary. And then when Stitch's Great Escape debuted, for one day, Cinderella Castle was TP'd by Stitch. There is toilet paper all over the castle, and then in big red letters, it says Stitch is King. Oh no, that was 2004. And then finally, the most recent retheme was for the 50th anniversary, and it was a iridescent, EAR, ear, makeover of the royal blue, gold, and pink. Which is what you now see, the paint scheme, as you will, at Disney.
And a lot of people didn't like that at first either. I personally love it. I think it looks great.
Yes. I remember having a reaction to it, but I remember that after a while, I was like, actually, I think it looks really good. But
Well, I think when I first saw it, and again, you see it in photos, right? And it's kind of
exactly.
like, oh, that's really different. But then when you compare the two, it's kind of like, okay, the first one was kind of dull, and now it's more like this is more fairy tale.
Exactly.
It almost fits better. The only thing I don't like about the new paint is that we no longer have the Christmas lights, the dream
True.
lights.
True.
Bring back the
Again.
dream lights.
Yeah,
Robert.
Yep.
Okay. That's it for Walt Disney World. Moving
So
on, right?
now, yeah, we are moving on. We are moving on to our first international park.
Yes.
And that is Tokyo.
Yes. And I'll be able to tell you all about it here in a few
I was
months.
gonna say, I'm really excited to hear what you have to say because there's not a lot known about the
No.
Tokyo Castle. Like, there wasn't a lot in the documentary. There wasn't a lot in the Disney 100 article I read.
Basically, Tokyo Bay came and said, "Hey, we want to build a Disney park. Let's talk about it." And they also wanted an exact duplicate of the Walt Disney World castle, as you would. If you see two different castles on American soil and you see one that's much larger, of course you're going to want that one, unless they decided to create their own. But at that time, that wasn't really what they were thinking. So in 1983, this park opens. Now, there's a problem with 1983. This is roughly the time Epcot is opening. Was Epcot 81?
Epcot was 81, so at the time that the Oriental Land Company and Disney Imagineers are working on Tokyo Disneyland, they are also working on Epcot. And again, I cannot find where I read this, and this was years ago, but essentially the CEO at the time was not super excited over the idea of building in Japan anyways. For a lot of reasons, but the biggest one was he was a World War II veteran.
Was that Michael Eisner?
No, this was before
Before
Eisner.
Eisner?
Yeah. And so, like, there was a lot of controversy over, like, and a lot of back and forth with the Oriental Land Company and Disney to even get Disney to accept this idea of building Tokyo. So when they finally did, and then they were also in the process of doing Epcot. The majority of Imagineers and everybody, Disney's time and effort went towards Epcot rather than Tokyo.
Correct. And I just found the CEO of Disney. His name was Ron W. Miller. He held a CEO from 1980 to 1984. So he really didn't last long as CEO either.
No. And I stand corrected. I don't think it was CEO. It might have been chairman of. I'll continue Googling, because Ron. I forgot about this. Ron W. Miller, though. Here's your Disney history for the day. Was Walt's son-in-law.
Oh,
He
interesting.
married. He married one of Walt's
Oh yeah,
daughters.
Abby, right? Abigail?
Now
Disney?
you see, Ron
Look
Miller
what I'm
Disney.
doing to you. Okay, while you're doing
Right.
that,
Yep.
the other really interesting thing about the Tokyo project was there was a language barrier, obviously, and they didn't really have translators. So they translated through art, right? So they sketched things and they said, "This is how we'd like it to look." And that is pretty much how the castle came to fruition, was through different sketches and artwork. Chris, did you find your info yet?
Yes, as a student athlete, Miller was introduced to 20-year-old student Diane Disney on a
Oh,
blind
Diane.
date. After playing in a football game, they married in a small Episcopal church ceremony in Santa Barbara on May 9th, 1954. So, just a little over a year before the Disneyland opened.
All right. Oh, yeah, Abigail Disney is married to Pierre Hauser.
Okay.
Yep, whoever that is. Moving on, that is all the information we have on Japan.
Yeah,
There
that's
is
it.
really not a lot of info on it.
So I am excited to hear what you have to say after June.
I will keep you posted. Well, I think. No, that's Hong Kong. Just kidding. Okay. So the next park to come into our lives was Disneyland Paris in 1992, just 1 year before Chris and I were born.
Yep.
This is, of course, in France. France is the castle capital of the world. If you didn't know this, France has 45,000 castles.
Which I did not know until this episode, and I was like, wow.
That's a lot of castles. Like, does everybody live in a castle? That's
Right.
kind of like how I'm looking at it.
And it's hilarious to me. I'd never, I guess, really thought about it. When I think of fairy tales, I automatically think of Germany because of the Brothers Grimm.
Yes.
And a lot of Disney fairy tales, although not all of them, are Brother Grimm stories. So I always thought it would have been Germany. So for it to be France, I was just like, oh, okay
Yes.
then.
So with France being the castle capital of the world, Disney knew they had to create a castle that was like nothing else, right? They had to be over the top. This had to be a dream castle. This couldn't just be a Cinderella castle. This couldn't just be a Sleeping Beauty castle. This had to be something special. And so, yeah, we're going to consider Sleeping Beauty. Yeah, Cinderella is French. We can consider that too. But how do we maybe marry the two? And that's exactly what they did. So they took the Sleeping Beauty castle, they took the Cinderella castle, and they created the Château de la Belle au Bois Dormant, the castle of the beauty in the sleeping woods. Now, inspiration for this castle came from many, many different castles around France, as well as they wanted this castle to have scenery, right? They wanted it to have land. They wanted it to have a forest and Everglades, landscaping around it to really immerse those guests. And so that's what they did. They took different films, Disney films, and took the best aspects of the animated castles, as well as looking around the architecture of France to make this castle what it is today.
I was actually pulling up pictures of the Disneyland Paris castle,
Okay.
just because the
And the colors,
scenery and everything around it is just so beautiful,
it
as are
is.
the colors, yes.
And I believe those colors have always been that vibrant.
I believe so.
It's very pink, blue, purpley.
One of my favorite things about this is when you talk about they wanted it to be, or they went to the animation and they went to the movies for it. Is the square trees.
Yes.
So in the back of Sleeping Beauty, like the movie, in the background, you will actually see square trees. And so one of the things they did in Paris was go and clip the trees and the hedges so that they were all squared and cubical. And it's so strange, yet so like actually beautiful.
Yes, and I will say the colors of that castle as well remind me a lot of what our iridescent castle looks like now, the Walt
Yes.
Cinderella. So I really feel like they kind of married that as well. Like, hey, let's bring that color to our land and world parks because it just kind of gives it more fluidity throughout the different parks in the world.
Yes.
Now, there's some things about the Paris castle. And that is number one, there's a lot of stained glass. Now, there was a stained glass artist that actually helped work on Notre Dame that came out of retirement to help create and design the stained glass.
Yes. I just saw his name. Where did it go? Paul Chapman, came out of retirement. He had worked on Notre Dame, as you said. One of the, he said this was one of the most fun, projects he had done because he got to tell a fairy tale through stained glass rather than the usual stories that he was telling with stained glass. So.
Another thing they want to do in France is they wanted the guests to be able to explore the castle, right? So, yeah, at Disneyland, you get to walk through it, but you're not really exploring the castle. At Disney World, yeah, you have Bippity Boppity Boutique. Yeah, you can walk through the castle. Yeah, you have
You can
Cinderella's
have
Royal
dinner there,
Table,
but
but you're not really in the castle, right? You're not exploring it. You're not getting to really get to know that castle on the inside, that, the
right.
bone.
And being in Europe, I mean, especially the Europeans, the Parisians living there, but even the tourist, you're used to being able to walk through and explore a castle in Paris. Like,
Yes.
this is not something you just go and stare at and drive by.
So, what do? They put an experience in it. I don't think it's a ride, right? It's just an experience, like the
I believe
dragon.
it's just an experience. Yeah.
Okay, so they have a dragon that's in a pool of water that you get to walk around and explore. And then the other thing with this one is they kind of did a little hint to, France, and the one spire has ornamental pieces that are actually escargot shells, so snail shells. which is kind of cool as well.
Right, I love that. That was a very interesting. And again, it's one of those, unless you ever got up that close, you would never know it.
No.
But it's one of those fun facts.
I mean, even standing on the ground, you probably can't tell. I could be wrong.
I'm looking at the Disneyland Paris website right now just to see if there was anything else about
That castle.
167-foot structure invokes both magic and mystery of fictional palaces, like one seen in Disney's animated classic Sleeping Beauty, as well as elements from real French castles and historic monuments.
Then let's move on. Let's go to Hong Kong, shall we? Hong Kong. So they call up and they say, hey, we're putting a Disney park in Hong Kong. We want a replica of a castle. Now, which one do you think they want? Disneyland or Disney World?
Absolutely, Disneyland. Everybody wants a 77-foot tall castle.
Yeah, that's what they
That
chose. Believe
is
it
what
or
they
not,
chose.
they wanted the 77-foot castle. There's one difference between what they wanted in Disneyland Hong Kong Disneyland, versus Anaheim Disney, right? And that is, there are
Culture.
certain cultural aspects that we need to take into consideration. So, in the front of the castle, there had to be water, right? So, the main things that they are looking for is they want a layout due to prosperity, happiness, and feng shui of the park. So, ocean or water in the front, and then a mountain in the back. And the mountains is signifying strength and power. The other thing about this park is, again, with feng shui, most of the castles are facing the south. And the reason for that is it is always in the sunlight for photos.
Yep.
This castle faces the east because it has the castles, or it has
The
the
mountains.
mountains in the backdrop.
Yep. So, which again, pulling up pictures and seeing like the mountains behind that
It's
castle, it's like,
gorgeous.
whoa.
Gorgeous.
Especially coming from somebody who lives in a mountainous state, I'm like, oh, it is amazing. But yes, from a photography perspective, I can see how that would be a nightmare because the sun crossing, east to west, and it's,
Right.
you're gonna lose. So,
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure sunrise photos are gorgeous, and probably sunset, I feel like, might be a little challenging, actually.
right, yeah.
But doesn't mean it doesn't make for a good photo either. And just so everyone knows, Hong Kong Disneyland opened in 2005. I did not mention that earlier.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. They had to really be cautious of how they laid this park out. And that was probably the toughest part of not only figuring out what castle they wanted, but building the park in general. And so it sat there for a while, just how it
And I mean,
was.
they brought in feng shui experts. They brought in Disney worked very closely with the Hong Kong government and the Hong Kong people to make sure that they were building it in a way that would bring those guests in because
Yes.
they're not going to come into a park that wasn't properly situated.
Yes. So it sat that way, a Sleeping Beauty's castle, for 11 years until November 2016. The Walt Disney Company and Hong Kong government announces they're doing a multi-year $10.9 billion expansion, and that's in what is Hong Kong's money?
I have no idea. We will find out. But yes,
Yen?
that would be Hong Kong dollars, not.
Yen, right?
No, yen is Japan. Hong
Okay, you're
Kong
right, because that's China.
currency. The Hong Kong dollar. That's literally
Okay,
what
the
it is
Hong
referred
Kong
to.
dollar. So,
Yeah.
10.9 billion in Hong Kong dollars for the purpose of expanding, reimagining the castle, adding the world of Frozen, a Stark Expo, which Avengers, and multiple new attractions with live entertainment. It was completed in 2019. So, the castle. Let's talk about that. Now, we already talked. Walt had very big dreams and a brain with a bigger budget than his pocket. So they went back to the original design of what Walt wanted in Anaheim, California, for that castle. And they took aspects of that original design to help create and redesign the Hong Kong castle. They used more colors. They added some height to it. I don't know what it stands at now, height-wise. Do you know, Chris?
I do not, but I can look.
Okay. But they added all those aspects and they renamed the Castle of Magical Dreams. So it is no longer Sleeping Beauty's castle, but the Castle of Magical Dreams, which I believe incorporates every princess.
Yes. So, number one, it stands at 167 feet tall,
Okay.
located in Fantasyland on Lantu Island. The structure takes inspiration from the princesses and queens featured in Disney animation and Pixar films. Think characters like Mulan, Moana, Tiana, Ariel, Rapunzel. You'll notice that certain elements of the castle, such as towers and domes, are uniquely designed to represent each character. The towers dedicated to Princess Aurora stands the tallest as a nod to the original Sleeping Beauty castle, which served as the foundation for the Castle of Magical Dreams.
I did not know that part.
Yeah.
That leads us to our next one.
Oh, yes, it does.
Shanghai Disney. Chris and I got Shanghai'd, and
Oof. Chris, Molly, Claire, and Ryan all got shanghaied.
Megan.
And the Megans.
We announced Shanghai Disneyland in 2015, and Disney thought, hey, this is going to be easy. We already did Hong Kong, right? We can figure out feng shui. We can figure out all these different things and make this, smooth, seamless, whatever. But then someone says, you know what? Pause. Let's think about this. Do we just want to do the same thing? Right? If you take a flight from Hong Kong to Shanghai, it's only 2 hours. Do you really want a copy and paste park 2 hours apart from each other? No. Let's go big. Let's really reel this in. Let's change it up. What's the first thing that aside? We're putting the biggest castle in Shanghai, which is the Storybook Castle. Yes, the Storybook Castle, the stories of the different princesses. There are different architectural elements to each of these princesses. With the biggest castle, guess what? A lot more room, right? We already talked
Oh, yeah.
about how Walt Disney World has the Royal Table, Bippity-Boppity Boutique, a suite,
Dream
how
suite.
Paris has an exploration that you can walk through with the dragon. What can we do in this castle? Chris, what did they do?
E-ticket attraction. And for those of you that don't know what e-ticket means, in Disneyland, when they first opened, they would sell actual ticket books. Each ride was a different level of experience. So you had more A, B, C tickets, less D and E tickets. E ticket were your biggest attractions. Think Space Mountain, think Tron.
Yes.
So,
Basically, it was virtual queue before virtual queue.
right, exactly. And so I guess I should scroll down to the part where we're at Shanghai now. Because it was the biggest, they wanted that E ticket ride in the castle, a boat ride. Castle walkthrough on the third floor, a Bippity Boppity boutique, princess meet and greet, and a restaurant.
So they fit one, two, three, four, five things inside of this castle. So, yes, there is a ride inside of the castle. There is a walkthrough on that third floor. I don't know exactly what the walkthrough
Yeah, I'm not
is.
sure. I'm
Check
looking
that out.
here. Da-da-da, deep in this
They
lore.
put a Bibbidi-Bobbidi Boutique in. They have their meet and greets. Think Princess Fairytale Hall. Guess what? That's inside the castle. And then they said, let's put a restaurant in there too. The one thing about Shanghai is it is a very polluted area because it is such a high traffic city, right? It's a busy city. Think New York, right? Not a lot of blue sky. So, what one of the Imagineers did is she said, let's figure out what colors we want. We want these fluorescent colors, saturated bright colors, to show through that gray sky. And so she painted ply boards and had the crane behind hang up these colors, and that's how they chose the colors of this castle.
You're talking about them hanging up these, plywood sheets with these different colors. Reminded me of Disney in color. Just, and this is not castle related. This is cruise ship related. Disney has such a, relationship with color that when they were designing the cruise ships, they were trying to find the perfect color for the hull of the ship, the bottom of the ship. And one of the Imagineers was walking by in her pantsuit. And one of the other Imagineers was like, "That's it. That's the color right there." And so she came back the next day. They brought her pants back and they went and color matched it. And they named it Monica Pants Blue.
Oh
And
my
that is the
gosh.
bottom of the ship of all the Disney Cruise Lines.
I love
So,
that.
again, completely not castle related, but when you were talking about them hanging up these plywood sheets with the different colors to see what would cut through the smog and the atmosphere in Shanghai, that is kind of what popped into my head. While you are looking.
So I found the Once Upon a Time Adventure is
Okay.
what it is. So inside of the castle, the walkthrough is called Once Upon a Time Adventure. Once Upon a Time Adventure is an attraction that is part of Fantasyland in Shanghai Disneyland. It is an interactive walkthrough attraction themed to the Disney animated classic Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. It was first revealed at the 2015 D23 Expo. So there you go.
Very cool. And I was going to read this from the Disney Parks blog 100-year castle article they did. Deep in its lore is a sense of enchantment as the storybook within is infused with magic, which brings its pages to life. You'll notice the warm, glistening tones of the granite and limestone building materials and the glowing windows framed in ornate Baroque flourishes. Two of the seven towers incorporate Shanghai Disneyland's guiding principles of authentically Disney, distinctly Chinese. These feature traditional Chinese cloud patterns and peonies, the China's national flower, blended with Disney stars and a crown with many Disney princess symbols.
Very nice.
So, and that's one of those things I always forget about Shanghai, and particularly, we all know each Disney park, even in America, has its own feeling and its own identity. But with Shanghai, when they went, "No, we're not just building another Hong Kong Disneyland," that was their goal, was distinctly Disney, or uniquely Disney, distinctly Chinese. Like, it had to
Yes.
be very much so.
And there you have it. That's the history of all the Disney castles.
Yep. What is
If you
that?
want
Six? Seven?
six.
Six.
If you want more information, I highly suggest checking out Behind the Attraction on Disney Plus.
Season one, episode six.
Yep, it's
I did
great.
look.
There's other things as well that they talk about. They do Big Thunder Railroad, they do the monorail.
One of my personal favorites is Pirates of the Caribbean,
Yeah,
and
that's a good
talking
one.
about specifically talking about Shanghai Disneyland's Pirates of the Caribbean. But Ryan, I've got another interesting castle fact for you.
Of course you do, Chris.
Oh, well, I couldn't help myself. Disney made the castle the icon of the parks.
Yes.
Disney, as we said at the beginning, has many different icons: Walt, Mickey, the castle. Do you know when the castle started being used as the icon within Disney Pictures, though?
Oh my gosh, didn't they go over this in the behind the scene,
I
behind
honestly
the
don't remember.
I know that they used it to basically like coexist castles and Disney. Like when
With
you
the
think of
park, yep.
Disney, you think of castle. And then I know they were using it for movie advertisements in the
Yep.
beginning with Tinkerbell and all that stuff, but I don't know
So
exactly when they started, no.
the official timeline for the beginning. Now, you are correct. Like, you'd see Tinkerbell and like the castle during Walt's TV specials. And of course, you saw, like, at the end of Snow White, you would see the castle and whatnot. But 1985, with the release of Return to Oz, was the first Disney logo featuring Cinderella Castle. The Disney logo featuring Cinderella's castle debuted in 1985. There we go. And they do bounce between Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty Castle.
I feel like they have a new storybook now.
I honestly wouldn't be
Like,
surprised if
I think
they used
Encanto is storybook.
it. Very well could be. The castle was a strategic choice to help Disney brand because people associated with the castles at Magic Kingdom. And it's been redesigned several times, including the additional of the shooting star, the removal of the words Walt and pictures. Some movies, of course, feature variations of the logo with different lighting and color settings to match the theme of the movie. It reminded me, we talked a few number of episodes back about Disney Main Street USA being set up as a quote unquote movie or movie theater experience. You, of course, come straight through the turnstiles, the very first thing you do. And then you are met with the train berm, so you can't see anything. And you've got the two entrances over on the far left or the far right. There's nothing dead center. You have to go to the left or right, just as if you're entering like a movie house and, the old buildings. As you go underneath the bridge of the train, you've got the posters featuring upcoming attractions and, what's going on. You've got the smell of the popcorn, the credits roll on the windows. And I just thought it was kind of interesting that 30 years later, so Walt set up Main Street USA to be the movie theater opening, to draw you in. And 30 years later, here we are, and it's still not only a movie theater opening, but now you've got the castle at the end of Main Street, and you've got the castle that starts all of your Disney movies.
Yes.
I thought that
I
was kind of a unique, I didn't, one of those you don't think about until you're like, oh, wait a minute.
Yes, for
But
sure. All right, ready to wrap it up?
wrap it up. I've got nothing else about castles.
All right. Well, hey, have you noticed our followers on Instagram?
That we've been getting a lot lately. Yeah.
Yeah, I went through and I followed a whole bunch of people and they're following us back, which is awesome.
That is awesome.
Not only that, but that made us cap over 100 or over 1,000 all-time listeners,
Hey.
which is pretty cool. So thank you for all of you who are listening to us. Go ahead and follow us on Instagram at DCPN Automouse Pod. Give us those 5-star reviews on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on. Go ahead and email us with questions, ideas for future podcasts at dcpnautomouse@gmail.com. But thank you all for listening. Thank you all for the follows. This is just something that Chris, Molly, Claire, Megan, and I do in our free time. We're
Right.
not getting paid to do this. This is just kind of our way of reliving our days as cast members. So thank you
It's a way
for.
of reliving our days as cast members and a way of getting to hang out with our friends on occasion.
Yes. So hopefully you guys are enjoying this as much as we are. If there's anything we can improve on, let us know. If there's anything that we're doing just phenomenally, let us know that too.
You have any ideas for a show episode, let us know.
I hear an echo in here. I already said that.
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
But until next time, I'm Ryan.
I'm Chris, and you've been listening to the DCP Anonymous Podcast. Thanks for listening.
See you next week.